Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Their process is simple. Choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, RotoViz radio news show brought to you by Indochino, ShipStation, and Harry's. I'm Blair Andrews on Twitter at @AmITheRealBlair. My co-host is Hassan Rahim on Twitter at HRR5010. Hassan, what's up?
What's going on, Blair? This was a really wild week in the NFL, and I am not just saying that because it really, really hurt in a whole bunch of leagues. So, how about yourself? How was your day?
My day was mostly very bad, and we can get into that a bit more or just move on. But in any case, I'm excited to discuss some of the news of the week, and I'm especially excited about our guest tonight. Joining us on the show is Matt Jones. Matt is one of the DFS analysts here at RotoViz. He writes the weekly DK Buffet and is one of the hosts of the RotoViz on the Daily podcast. He also writes Finding the Right Stack column for Sharp Football, and is RotoViz's featured PGA writer, as well as hosting the Bogey Free podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at @MattJonesTFR. Matt, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Yeah, of course. I'm always happy to come on and chat with you guys. It's going well. Had a good DFS day and just sweating some season long stuff now with this Patriots game. So we're rolling along.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, for many of you out there, your season is still alive. But yeah, let's get right into the first news item. Devontae Parker caught 7 of 10 targets for 159 yards and 2 touchdowns in Miami's Week 13 win over the Eagles. So Matt, Parker has really come on over the last few weeks and is arguably one of the lone bright spots on this offense, or at least one of two. What would you say Parker's value is going forward for the rest of the season?
That was a great slide in there. I like that. He's I mean, it's kind of hard to argue against him at this point, right? I mean, 5 of the last 7 weeks, he's had double-digit targets. Since week 7 coming into this game, he had the 6th highest whopper among wide receivers, and they have basically a cake schedule down the stretch. So I really think he's at least a top 15 wide receiver moving forward. There's not really a heck of a lot of competition there as far as the wide receiver core. So I'm pretty high on Parker.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I was really curious. I mean, I know you're getting into basketball a little bit, and I know you've been doing fairly well, I believe, if I recall correctly. Where would you be considering Parker next year, at least when the ADP starts shaking out? Or what do you think would need to happen in order for his value to remain the same or his value to decline?
I guess it really depends on what they end up doing through the draft. Realistically, I think that he's probably more of like a wide receiver too, like in the 20 to 24 range for next year, depending on what the situation is. But I think he's probably going to end up being a little bit overdrafted for what I would project for him for next year. But like I said, for the playoffs here, I think he's golden.
Yeah, he's a player that is really kind of puzzling, hard for me to figure out. You don't see a lot of people breaking out, especially first round picks breaking out in their NFL careers as late as Parker did.
Right.
He's been a lot of his production he's been able to do after Preston Williams went down with the injury. He's averaging, I think, over 10 targets a game coming into this game without Preston Williams, only 6.5 with Preston Williams. So if Williams comes back next year and is healthy, that could maybe eat into Parker's opportunity a bit. So there are, you think, are reasons to kind of temper expectations, but I mean, yeah, it's hard for me to even really know what to do to really get behind him, just kind of from a profile standpoint. Even these, you know, these guys who do break out late, you often find that they tend to be maybe one-hit wonders and are not able to sustain that level of production. So I'm sort of being a little bit cautious on Parker when I'm trying to evaluate him long-term. I don't know if you play any Dynasty, Matt, but I'm kind of trying to think about what I would maybe offer for him if I wanted to get him on my team, or what I would take if I owned him anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. That's tricky.
Yeah, I'm sad to report I am an owner of zero Dynasty teams. So I was begging all offseason for Hassan to co-own a team with me, but he big timed me. So, you know, he's got to go on ship chasing with you and do all this other stuff. So he's too busy for the little guys like me.
No, we do need to get probably a couple of like writer startups though. Like once we get into like off season stuff, especially because I think best ball dynasty leagues are probably like the best way to play. You don't necessarily have to make like in season trades or whatever, but like I just think that there's a kind of a purity to these like deep dynasty best ball leagues where you have these guys who you're true string on, and you can get pretty excited when they go off, like Patrick Laird, for example.
Yeah, I think Parker's value moving forward will never approach what we're going to look at him as for the last, you know, 5 weeks and the next 3 weeks. I don't think it's I think if you could sell high on him, you probably would be wise to do so.
I thought for a second you were going to say that his value will never approach Patrick Laird level, which is probably also true.
it is interesting though, because like, I mean, like this is like a pretty solid schedule, right? You get like New York Jets, New York Giants, and you get Cincy like the next 3 weeks. What price does he have to hit on DK for you to not play him?
Oh man. I mean,
he was 5.7K today, right?
Right. And that's like, that's not going to happen again, probably, unfortunately. But I don't know. Like you could probably make the argument from a volume perspective that he's in like the 68 to 70 range, I think, is probably still reasonable. If he gets up to like, you know, 75, then I'll probably be out. But, you know, then you have to consider ownership too. So there's a couple of moving parts there, but I think you would. I think you can play him up to like 6,800, maybe 7K if you're feeling frisky. Maybe.
No, I'm with you. I think because like his ownership was fairly depressed. We were talking before the show a little bit about like what his cash ownership was, and it was fairly depressed like across the double ups and in most of my head to head. So it's just like a question of what he's priced at for next week. And for what it's worth, we're recording right now. Pricing has not come out for next week just yet. If it did, I would have told you guys, and then we could have told you to play him in cash. But just wait for Matt's article on Friday, and I'm sure he'd be, when on the daily drops, I'm sure he would be a cash play.
Yeah, him and Laird are going to be all over the content this week. It's going to be great.
Tyler Boyd got 5 of 10 targets for 59 yards and a touchdown in the Bengals' Week 13 win over the Jets. Matt, Dalton's return to the lineup seems to have helped buoy Boyd's floor. You know, what are your expectations for Boyd's and the rest of the Bengals' aerial offense for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's super frustrating, right? Like, I believe if I looked at this right, he only had 3 targets in the second half, and obviously, you know, like immediately when you logged on to DraftKings to look at how he was doing, he had the flame immediately and then kind of slowed down a little bit. But they had the lead, and I don't know that that's really going to happen many more times this year. They get the Browns twice, and they play the Patriots and the Dolphins. So, I mean, I would assume a floor of like 8 targets would be pretty reasonable. And then it's just a matter of what he actually does with them. But if he's going to continue to see this volume, I don't really see a way to get away from him, whether it's DFS or if you drafted him in season long, you're definitely, unless you did some waiver wire magic or pulled off some amazing trades, you're probably playing him regardless.
Yeah, I think that's right. What I guess you probably see with Dalton back in the lineup is that Boyd has a little bit higher floor than what he did with Finley, although I don't know that you're necessarily going to see Dalton raise his ceiling as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you there.
Yeah, so, yeah, with Finley, you know, he has these two-point games, and he has a lot of games with, like, 10 or 12 points, so maybe with Dalton, you see less of those. I want to say in most of the games he's played with Dalton this season, he's had double-digit targets, and I don't believe he did that once with Finley. So there's definitely, some reason for optimism. But, I mean, it's still the Bengals and still not going to be necessarily explosive a lot of the time. So, yeah, he's another guy that I still have hope for long term, but not for this offense.
This was a bit of a weird week as far as this goes, because, like, Auden Tate, like, had four catches, 66 yards, right? Like, for Cincinnati, and that came, like, all in the second half. That came out of nowhere. I will say, C.J. Uzomah, the man, the myth, the legend, you know, did pretty well. He had five catches for 51 yards. I want to ask a question of you guys. So let's just go back, back to April, right? And if I told you Tyler Eifert was going to play the full 2019 season healthy, would you be more surprised at that or the fact that he was absolutely been useless from a fantasy perspective?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's always just been a matter of, obviously with Eifert, it's been a matter of durability. And just for him to be able to get through a 16 game season probably means that he's not being overly utilized. I couldn't really picture, like, what we expected of him, you know, 2-3 years ago happening again. Like, he just can't, there's just, his body's just given up on him. Like, there's no other explanation for it. And they have all these other bodies, and they're all similar. Like, Tate is a big receiver. You have Uzomah. Like, there's other ways for them to, I mean, they're not really getting it. I was going to say other ways for them to get it done. They're not really getting much done, but you know what I mean? They can't rely on him. And it's not really that surprising that he's been pretty much a non-factor all year.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing is that really nobody has been good in this offense. I think,
right.
Basically, John Ross might be the only player all season on the team who has positive fantasy points over expectation. So it's the sort of thing where you can explain Eifert's poor performance kind of just by looking at what the Bengals are doing. So it maybe is not necessarily a huge knock on him, but, I mean, yeah, kind of like you said, it's surprising that he can't play a full season, which probably means he's not getting the usage that that he has been getting. And even if he is, he's not the same athlete that he once was, same tight end that he once was. So, hard to have much faith going forward. Real question, I think, is whether C.J. Uzomah is still on your Scott Fishbowl team, Hassan.
Sadly,
people
no.
need to know.
Sadly, no. I was really, really busy today, and I didn't have enough chance to go and pick him up, because had I known, you know, ahead of time he was going to do this, oh man, I would have locked him in. I kind of wish I left him on my roster. It was a disaster from top to bottom, like coming out of the bye and into the week. Like, it's just a bad season all around for me this time around. Matt, I believe your Scott Fishbowl team's been doing pretty well, right?
Yeah, I had a bye this week. So I'm pretty pumped. I think I was like top 100. I think I was like 90th or something in points. Nice. So just gotta survive in advance. Now I'm getting Minsanity back apparently too. So that can help.
Yeah, very excited about that. Not so much for one of our co-owned dynasty teams where we dropped Minsanity for Laird, but we'll get that fixed. We're gonna drop probably, I don't know, one of our many, many running backs that we don't need for Minshew here. Well, the holiday rush, it's here, and you have to be able to ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all these orders and decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're even getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and delivered in time for the holidays. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, and UPS, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customers. And it's no wonder that ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Just take the hassle out of your holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use our offer code BLUE and you get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no hassle, stress-free holiday shopping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code BLUE, ShipStation, make ship happen. And again, and this is something that Blair and I have talked about a little bit, but you know, if you're looking for a great gift for a special someone in your life, I would genuinely consider thinking about Harry's. And here's the thing, if you're that special someone in your own life, go out and buy yourself a Harry's razor. It's thoughtful and it's practical. And guess what? Listeners of this show can get $5 off any Harry's shave set by heading to harrys.com/bluewire. And free shipping will end on December 16th, so you have to act right now. It's a great deal for you, right? Holiday sets start at just $20, and that's actually within Secret Santa limits. So if you have any of that going on at work or among your friends, get them a Harry's razor set. And guess what? Harry's refills are as low as $2 each. So you'll just be saving money over time. And the best part, it actually comes in a handsome holiday gift box. So don't worry about the wrapping and all the other stuff. You know, and look, if you need another reason, it's a gift that gives back, as 1% of each sale will be donated to charitable organizations. As a special offer for fans of our show, we've partnered with Harry's and you get $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/bluewire, and you get the free shipping. But act now, because that ends on December 16th. And if you need to know what's in that, the shave set comes with a weighted handle. You have the option to get it engraved, 5-blade razor cartridges, a foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, and it's packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Remember, the free shipping will end December 16th. Act now. Go to harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire. Let's get into No Shit Shit No.
All right, first item, Michael Thomas caught 6 of 8 targets for 48 yards in the Saints' Week 13 win over the Falcons.
Yeah, shit, no. I mean, this whole game was weird, right? Like, we had the Hill breakout, breeze through for like 180 yards. I don't see a situation where he has a game like this again.
Yeah, we usually don't talk about Thursday players on today's show, but you know, hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. For me, it was very difficult to enjoy my third meal of the day when I was sitting there watching Taysom Hill vulture Michael Thomas. Just a terrible, god-awful experience. But I think you're right. I mean, Michael Thomas, like, people are calling him the Christian McCaffrey of like wide receivers, which I think is high praise. I mean, this is a guy who smashed with Breeze. He smashed with Deddy. This is a bit of a blip. I mean, at one of those two TDs gone to Michael Thomas, you know, who cares? But,
right,
you know, this is how it is. Cortland Sutton caught 4 of 5 targets for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Broncos' Week 13 win over the Chargers.
Yeah, no shit. Like, he's good. Locke really should be going to him more than 5 times in a game. it seemed like they were, he's sort of feeling out the offense still, and he, I think he completed passes to like 8 different pass catchers. So hopefully that target tree condenses a little bit and we could see, you know, what he can do with 7 or 8 targets consistently from somebody not named Joe Flacco or whoever else they've been running out there.
Patrick Laird rushed 10 times for 5 yards and a touchdown and caught 4 of 5 targets for 43 yards in week 13 against the Eagles.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, when you have a talent like a Patrick Laird, you could really only keep him down for so long, right? Like, we know he has these pass catching chops, and Kalen Ballage is just one of the worst people that have ever put on an NFL uniform from a talent perspective. He had 4 opportunities today and had 0 yards. So Laird should be useful moving forward once they realize that Ballage is just utter garbage.
Didn't Evan Silva call him like Fugazi Austin Eckler? This is such a Fugazi Austin Eckler line too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Caden Smith got 6 of 8 targets for 70 yards in the Giants' week 13 loss to the Packers.
Yeah, no shit. As a Giants fan, I know this story all too well. Like, Daniel Jones wants to do one of 3 things on almost every play. He either wants to fumble. If he doesn't get an opportunity to do that, he would rather get picked off. And if for some reason that doesn't happen, he's probably throwing it to a tight end. So it doesn't matter if it's Engram or Ellison or Smith or whoever else they're going to roll out there when Smith gets hurt next. Like, it's, yeah, obviously this was going to happen.
Brashad Perryman caught 5 of 6 targets for 87 yards in the Bucs' week 13 win over the Jaguars.
Shit, no. I mean, I'm not, can this guy just be, like, fired into the sun? Like, why we're still seeing Brashad Perryman is just beyond me. This game was just super weird in general. Like, Winston threw for, like, 270, no touchdowns. Evans and Godwin barely had 50 yards each. This is not something that's that I'm willing to bet on continuing.
Terry McLaurin caught 2 of 4 targets for 8 yards in Washington's week 13 win over the Panthers.
I think this is unpopular, but, like, no shit. Like, he's had these games where he sort of just disappears a little bit. He had a 4-target game a few weeks ago and a 2-target game a couple weeks before that. They obviously are just intent on running the ball, and like, he's going to be a casualty of that at points this year. There's just no way around it.
I'm noticing we don't have a question about this, but Darius Geist rushed for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns. Do you think that is legit?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they're obviously giving him the opportunity, and he's clearly healthy and he's clearly running with it. So if you're gonna get the lion's share of work from Washington with their, I guess you can call it a philosophy, though I think that that's probably an overstatement. Then yeah, I think Geis is gonna be pretty good down the stretch.
Yeah, and like, I think the 3 targets really has me pretty a little bit more excited than he should be, if only because we heard a lot about how he's not the greatest of pass catchers, but he's getting targeted, and that's going to be very exciting. Where would you be looking at taking Geis, assuming, you know, that this is, that their backfield's fairly settled? Where would you be looking at taking Geis in your in Ben Bestball next year?
Oh man, I don't think I'm ever gonna have a Geis share next year. I think he's gonna be way too expensive for me. God, I honestly, I'll defer to you guys. I don't know how crazy it could even get. If he has a couple games like this down the stretch, like, could he be, I don't know, like a second, third rounder?
Yes, absolutely. He would probably open in like the late third.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just never going to happen for me. But you know, God bless if you're willing to go there.
Yeah, I mean, he does still play for Washington, so
right, which is a big X on his resume.
Yeah, that's like the big. I mean, that's really the big question mark, right? Like, we don't know if they're willing to stick with Haskins. We don't know what's going to happen here with this offense. The only benefit would be if he is gone.
Yeah. Curtis Samuel caught 4 of 7 targets for 65 yards and 1 touchdown in the Panthers' Week 13 loss to Washington.
I don't even know what to make of Samuel anymore. I guess it's no shit, but because like it's 4 of 7 targets and that's what he's likely going to do. He luck boxed the touchdown early in the game, and then Kyle Allen turned into a pumpkin and they didn't really do anything until the last like 4.5 minutes. So yeah, I guess no shit. I don't know.
It's also kind of like an unpopular opinion here, but like he has been seeing like a steady band of these targets. He's crested double digit targets like twice this year. The first was back in week 2 where he had 13 targets. He caught 5 of those for 91 yards and no touchdowns. And then he had like 11 targets against San Francisco in week 8, and he caught 4 of those for 46 yards. And we've seen, you know, some film analysis saying that it's like, oh, the kind of routes that he runs and it's all the deep stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's weird because when you watch the games, like DJ Moore sees similar-ish targets, not all the time, but he sees similar targets. He just does, I don't know, just seems to do a little bit more with them. I think part of the reason is like people were fallaciously equating the two as like talents, and it's still something to like really think about, I think, for next offseason, because we knew DJ Moore was going high, but like the hype train that pushed Samuels' ADP up, I think was a wrong process. And I don't know, because like we had really haven't seen him break 100 yards once this year, and I really don't think that this is a, you know, it's difficult when your quarterback is Kyle Allen, but like we've seen DJ Moore do it multiple times, and he's like flirted with like, you know, 100 yards like quite a few times, whereas like with Curtis Samuel, he's flirting with 50 yards and maybe 60 yards. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I think that things kind of looked a little bit optimistic, especially after that week 2 game. But and as soon as Kyle Allen came in, kind of, I think both DJ and Curtis Samuel saw their yards drop a bit, and DJ Moore looks to be kind of bouncing back, whereas Samuel is not so much. So, yeah, I think I would probably be concerned. I mean, I had really high hopes for both of these guys coming into this season, so I'm a little disappointed and maybe a little disillusioned. But yeah, I think you're basically right.
Penny Snell rushed 16 times for 63 yards and 1 touchdown in Pittsburgh's Week 13 win over the Browns.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, they're gonna have to use him when they have Duck in and they have Connors out. So I don't know. I think Snell is like objectively slow and bad. But if they're gonna give him 17 opportunities, then he's probably going to be fine as long as Connors out.
Yeah, Benny Snell the snail, man.
Just brutal. Just real hard to watch run. Just real bad.
Yeah, and imagine being a Cleveland fan having to watch that.
Mark Ingram rushed 15 times for 59 yards in the Ravens' Week 13 win over the 49ers, adding 2 catches for 3 additional yards.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, they're going to keep giving him work, but he's not the only guy there. He's going to be touchdown dependent. You know, Jackson had more carries than him today, and if he had the entire backfield from the running back work, then he would be a heck of a lot more useful. But he needs to fall into the end zone twice to really get there for DFS season, whatever purpose you want him for. He's going to need to score to get there most weeks.
Yeah, it's just a brutal scene here with Mark Ingram. I mean, we've been talking about it a little bit. It's like, it's not so much as his workload isn't in question. It's just, you know, Lamar Jackson is just so talented with the ball in his hands. Why would you ever try and, like, not have the ball in, like, the hands of your best playmaker? Mark Ingram's still objectively pretty good. But, you know, Gus Edwards is getting some run in there as well. I'm with you. He needs to, like, score to see value. Also, we just discussed Benny Snell, and really good note here from Adam Schefter just popped up across my timeline, which is that the Bills Steelers have been flexed to Sunday Night Football in Week 15. So if Benny Snell is still the starting running back, oh boy, America is in for a treat.
We also had a Justice Hill sighting today, so that was exciting. 1 for 3 yards. It was great.
The stars are all here, man. Darwin Thompson does a couple of things. Darrell Henderson got some run.
Oh, man. Just brutal.
George Kittle caught 2 of 4 targets for 17 yards in the 49ers' Week 13 loss to the Ravens.
Oh, shit, no. I mean, this was a real tough scene for my my season long. But, yeah, I mean, he's a man-child. Like, maybe this foot thing or ankle thing, whatever it is worse than they're letting on. But they gave him that jet sweep, and he looked like Benny Snell. Like, he just looked like he had never been on a football field before when he was running. So hopefully that was more to do with the sloppy conditions and less to do with his injury. But it was a little bit of a concerning day from him.
What do you make of Raheem Mostert getting 19 carries to Tevin Coleman's 5?
Oh, man. God, like, just, of course, Shanahan. Like, why not? I was talking to Hassan before lock, and I said to him, I was like, I really wish, like, with Breida out, I wish that Coleman could just be a smash, and I know that he's not going to be, but, like, who knew it was going to be Mostert instead? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, and I have no way of predicting what they're going to do there, so I've completely given up. Like, Coleman only even saw one target. I don't have the snaps in front of me, but I'm very curious to see what the actual snap share was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I don't know if Coleman's fully recovered from, like, that early season ankle injury, but, like, we told a handful of people over in the road of his Patreon Slack to, like, snag Mostert and start him a few weeks ago, and they've just been rolling him out, you know, with reckless abandon, and somehow they're, like, you know, completely able to and I'm glad that whoever we told to pick up were able to capitalize on this 19 carry 146 yard touchdown performance. And he also got, like, 2 targets, and he caught both of them for, like, 8 yards. Like, this is just, I don't know. Mostert is, like, real life good, but he's definitely, I mean, has he forced a 3-way, like, really, like, a 3-way RBBC? But if Breida returns, when Breida returns, will he return? I don't know.
I think that they said that Breida was targeting a return for next week, that he possibly could have went today, but they wanted to hold him out to just completely rest up for next week. So I don't know. Either way, I think that there's not going to be any sort of clarity with this situation. Like, and just a really difficult day if you had this happen on your bench the week before the fantasy playoffs. Ooh.
Odell Beckham caught 3 of 6 targets for 29 yards in Cleveland's Week 13 loss to the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, 6 targets. Like, Landry is just the alpha there, right? Like, 11 targets this week. We had a Garrett Gilbert sighting in the game today, too, after Mayfield got hurt. But this is a no shit. Like, this keeps happening. I don't know how they right the ship. The answer is probably in sending Kitchens on a one-way Greyhound somewhere. But, yeah, this is going to probably just keep happening. So if you're a Beckham owner, you might want to make some backup plans.
This is interesting to me because, like, he's been known as a guy to have, like, this, like, crazy ceiling. And I want to get your thoughts on this player. How much of this do you just, say is a, you know, more of a reason because Odell Beckham is a wide receiver changing teams, and just how much of this is just primarily because he's just not the guy we thought he was? He's had a couple of, like, real massive blow up games early on this year, but, like, it's been a pretty poor outing for him.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, obviously changing teams is not good for wide receivers. We know that. But also, this offense just hasn't been what we thought it would be, right? With Mayfield coming in and you know, unless he's playing against Miami, looking really pretty bad. So I think there's a lot of blame to go around for Beckham's performance this season. But I mean, I'm still hopeful that, you know, they could figure things out next year and turn it around and he can get back to being, you know, a near elite option. So I haven't totally given up hope yet. One thing I want to ask about, Matt, you were one of the biggest Nick Chubb boosters going into this season. Kareem Hunt's emergence after returning, have you worried about Chubb's value going forward at all?
I think this week, maybe a little bit more so, just not because Hunt scored the touchdown, it's whatever. But Hunt had 7 carries to Chubb 16, and obviously this wasn't like a runaway game and they just take the air out of the ball by any stretch of the imagination. But if they're going to really cut into his carries, like we were thinking, oh, you know, maybe Hunt is going to see 6 targets, but Chubb will get his 3 and he'll still see like 22 carries and it'll be fine. And like if they're going to start giving him carries, then this could be pretty tough stretch for the playoffs here.
Ugh. Robbie Anderson caught 7 of 10 targets for 101 yards in the Jets' week 13 loss to the Bengals.
Yeah, no shit. Like, he's going to have these games. And when Darnold makes the effort, obviously a lot of this came in catch-up mode that, you know, they never actually caught up. But he looks for him, right? He needs big plays. He's going to go to Robbie Anderson. He's not going to go to Jameson Crowder when he needs these chunk plays. You know, Crowder had, geez, he had 2 catches for 8 yards. That's absurd. sorry, I just noticed
like
that.
Like a 6.0 ADOT too, right?
He had 9 targets. His longest catch was 9 yards, and he finished with 8 receiving yards. That's not a that's not a great look. But yeah, like Anderson led the team in targets, and luckily hit that 100-yard bonus on DraftKings because that helped out quite a bit. So yeah, he's gonna do these. He's gonna have these ceiling games every so often. A touchdown would have been nice, but Darnold obviously wasn't too interested in touchdowns today.
All right, before moving on to the final segment, I want to remind you to become a RotoViz Patreon and gain exclusive access to RotoViz Radio Slack, where you can ask questions and gain league-winning advice from many of the podcast and writing team. Patronships start at just $6 a month. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners. Sign up at patreon.com/RotoViz Radio. I want to also remind everyone that you can get a listener's only 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our premium content and all of our tools, and it also supports the pod. Plus, for a limited time only, we're offering a 2-year RV Radio NFL sub, which includes 10% discount and complimentary access to RotoViz Radio Patreon and the RotoViz Radio Slack channel for the 2019 season. That's right, get 10% off a 2-year subscription and enjoy unlimited access to the RotoViz Radio Slack channel for the rest of the season, just in time for you to take down your championship. All you have to do is head to rotoviz.com/podcast and sign up via the 2-year RV Radio subscription, and we'll email you Slack access details within 48 hours. Once again, that's rotoviz.com/podcast. All right, moving on to news item number 3. Robert Woods caught 13 of 19 targets for 172 yards in the Rams' Week 13 win over the Cardinals. So Matt, Woods appears to be rejuvenated since the Rams' Week 9 bye. He's led the Rams in air yards for the last 3 games, but unfortunately still has yet to score a touchdown. What are Woods' prospects for the rest of the season, as well as what do you expect of the rest of, or for the rest of the Rams' passing attack?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough stretch for me. You guys are hitting me with my Chubb take. Now I'm having to deal with Woods over Cup. This is a really devastating end to a pretty fun show so far, guys. Not gonna lie. Yeah, I mean, what even is 19 tar? Like, how is that even possible? It's completely absurd. But like you said, he's been used when he's been on the field. since their bye. I don't know. Like they're going to go as Goff goes. They're not going to play a team as bad on defense as Arizona again. So I think that like Woods is not, he's not the same situation that we discussed at the top of the show with Parker. I don't think that he's just a locked in like borderline wide receiver one, because there are going to be weeks where the game plan just calls for something completely different. He's definitely surpassed Cooks, obviously. But I think it's going to probably be a little bit of whack-a-mole between Kupp and Woods for the rest of the season. That for season long there, if you have either of them, you're obviously locked in with them. But as far as like DFS goes, I think they're going to be very price dependent and very ownership dependent. But they'll definitely be useful down the stretch if Goff can, you know, actually be like a functioning human being, again. I had sort of given up on him before this week, but he just has this way of roping me back in no matter what.
Yeah, today was a tough day for those who faded Goff on the road Goff narrative. Like really the reason to fade Goff is because he's just been looking really poor for a while. I will say that it's interesting that Goff kind of just locks onto one guy, right? Like it's not so much as just like he's spreading the ball or spreading the wealth as much as he used to or would. The game here, I mean, when you look at the box score, like Higbee had 8 targets and then Kupp had 6, and like there was just nothing left for like Brandon Cooks and Kupp savaged his day with a TD, but like there's just not that much space to go around, especially now that they're getting Josh Reynolds incorporated as well. So it's kind of tricky, right? Like how do you decide who to play on a weekly basis? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you just have to, if you're playing DFS, you have to split it up and have a stack with each of them. And then for season long, you're not going to bench either of those guys. So you kind of don't have a choice. The thing about Goff is that he's much more, his splits and his performance is much more dependent on the pressure being generated against him than it is like if he slept in his bed last night or not. Like I think they had 1 sack today, Arizona. So yeah. when you have that, like when you give him time with these receivers, and obviously this year hasn't gone the way that maybe a lot of us expected it to go for the Rams. Like there's still a system in which that he can score fantasy points and, be valuable for that at least.
Yeah. I think that's right. You know, he doesn't have a lot of really attractive matchups coming up in the rest of the season. I mean, Seattle and Dallas are okay, and then San Francisco in week 16 is not going to be a fun one, it looks like. But, if you own Brandon Cooks after a game like this where you got 2 targets, I mean, you obviously cannot start him when you can't rely on this volume. But, I mean, how worried are you going forward for Cooks?
I am extremely worried. This is one of those situations where, what has it been, like 6 weeks since he saw, like, more than 4 targets? Like, he essentially, and obviously there's other things going on between the concussion problems and everything else, but I'm a big Brandon Cooks guy, but this ain't it. Like this looks like the downturn, and you're not really gonna get anything for him at this point. So I guess you probably don't have a choice but to hold and hope that something changes, but I would not be terribly optimistic about Cooks.
Gardner Minshew completed 16 of 27 passes for 147 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. The Jaguars is 28-11, week 13 loss to the Bucs. Matt, Minshew replaced Nick Foles at halftime, after that disastrous start. And he was far better despite facing heavy pressure brought by the Bucs. Like, do you think the Jaguars have finally benched Foles for good? Is Minshew a viable quarterback to start for the rest of the season?
I hope that they're done with the Foles experiment, because they're it's just not happening, right? Like when Minshew came into the game, there's a spark. He could run around a little bit, and it just seems like there's just more of like a, I don't know. They seem quicker. They just seem better when he's on the field compared to Foles. And realistically, he had that one dud game. I think it was like week 3 or 4. But outside of that, like he's been sort of a fringe, like top 14 quarterback. Like he has a bunch of QB2 finishes. And they're all relatively close to QB1 performances. And coming down the stretch here, Jacksonville has a relatively easy schedule. The strength of schedule, you know, the streaming app that we have here at RotoViz has them as the 9th easiest for the fantasy playoffs. So I think realistically, he is, unless you're just loaded, you have to play him in Superflex as your QB2. And if you have some, you know, a really tough matchup or some just real difficult decisions on who to play, I think you could definitely do worse down the stretch than Minsanity.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is that this situation in Jacksonville is starting to remind me kind of what we saw last year in Tampa Bay, where the coaching staff can't seem to decide who they actually want on the field. I mean, yeah, they benched Minshew after this one game where he had 2 interceptions. Before that, like you said, he had been actually really good. And then, you know, they play Foles for a couple weeks and then decide they want to switch back. So, I mean, how surprised would you be if they went back to Foles at some point in this season?
I mean, at this rate, not terribly surprised. Though I do think that, I don't know how to say it. I feel like there's, for whatever reason, if they start Minshew, I think that there's less of a chance that he puts himself in a situation where he's going to get benched mid-game, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if he's announced as the starter, I really don't have any hesitation in starting him. Like I said, in those specific situations, he's not a top 8 QB. He's probably most weeks going to fall between 9 and 14, and that's fine if that's what you need, you know, in a given week.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Matt Jones. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, @MattJonesTFR. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our Patreon. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast channel on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.